very good morning to you. Welcome to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the fourth day of January 2021. I'm David Ellis, and I am with you up until 2 o'clock today. A technical operator is Dennis Johnson. Well, we are into a very difficult period for Barbados at the moment. The situation as it relates to COVID-19 continues to unfold in a situation, in a circumstance that is quite disturbing for many. Quite a lot of people have been tested. Surely there have been many negative tests, but we wait to hear from the authorities today when we expect that they will have another news conference, and they'll be telling us exactly what is going on, what is the latest on this situation. We've had the curfew, which has been imposed from 9 until 5. But in all the circumstances, it seems to me that Barbadians need to treat this situation extremely seriously. Things that we don't have to do, we really should avoid. I did say when I was last on this program for an entire production of Down to Brass Tacks that I thought that this period was going to present us with our biggest test since March, April of last year. And it has done so. A lot has been said by people about what is the cause of this situation, the open borders policy, the testing policy, the quarantine policies. But let's be fair, let's be realistic. There's more than enough blame to go around on this particular matter. You can talk about the government's reliance on what it saw as PAHO, WHO, and its resistance to some of the suggestions that were coming from other people in Barbados. The general tone that was set, it gave Barbadians a sense of complacency. We have been talking about this sense of complacency for quite some time. It has been evident in so many places. So it's one thing to go after the prison officers for the bus crawl, but we got to be realistic. We really got to be honest about what has happened in our country in this regard. So this is where we are right now, and we got to deal with it as best as we can and try our best to avoid a significant increase in cases. We have to hope that we will have no more deaths and that the facilities will not be overwhelmed. I wait to hear more from the authorities as they speak today. Let's see if we have somebody on the telephone lines. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, hello? Morning. Yes, morning. Ready?
Yeah, morning. You are operating from studio?
I'm operating from via Zoom.
Oh, that's why I get this crawling noise. I think Zoom is a good idea, but sometimes it can be a bit disturbing. Sometimes I don't know if a person speaking to the body, and then you've got to put it on mute and all that sort of thing. I mean, technology is there. The first thing I want to ask you, me and Barbados, we were at one time, we were boasting, not really boasting, but we were up in the like a shining star among the countries in the world where it was said that Barbados, being a small developing country, had the ability to contain a virus, and it was known worldwide how good we were doing. But there was always question marks, and I was one of those people. I have always said that the jury is still out on the Ministry of Health. And a nurse told me one day that you never tell the population the real truth about a pandemic. You don't want to frighten or scare the people. You really believe, or the population in Barbados believe, that this what happened at the prison, no one only comes to the front line?
Well, you know, In the business that I've been associated with for many years, I have learned to question many things. And I don't easily accept information that is given to me by people. I think it is important that we always ask additional questions. There are questions to be asked about what has been going on in the prison. All the focus has been on the bus crawl. And people have looked at that as the principal source. But there are others who will tell you that the numbers that we've had out of the prison suggest that we needed to look more closely at how long COVID has been in the prison and what are the steps that have been taken by the authorities to protect both the people who work and those who are inmates from COVID over the period since early last year.
So this Prime Minister has now put out and said that Barbados now is on high risk, and therefore anybody coming from Barbados now will have to go 10 days in isolation.
But there's nothing wrong with that. Barbados has already classified itself as high risk. By all the international standards, we are so classified. So, you know, don't look at what St. Vincent does or what any other Caribbean country does. We recognize it ourselves.
But this
the numbers tell us that.
But here's the thing, this is where you get a bit worried or troublesome. People, there was a place that shut down on Saturday. Somebody went in there that was positive. No, the people that was asked to leave the place now, how are you going to get in contact with all those people now that were get tested, that would have come in contact with that person that was positive, you see? This is...
Well, let's be realistic about this. If you happen to be in an area where you have heard that somebody has tested positive, are you going to sit down and wait for the authorities to come to you? Or are you going to go and take advantage of the facilities that are available to say to them, look, I believe I may have been exposed and I want to be tested?
Well, can you not
ask that?
Yeah, but why did the police...
situation. That prison officer's situation does not come across as being correct and right to me. So I don't know the full details of that. I get the impression that there's something else behind that. There's more in the mortar than the pestle.
Okay, right? Thank you, sir. Okay, thank you.
What the government said and how the government officials responded to this question when last they had the press conference, in particular the AG, and I've listened to what has been said by Caswell Franklin. And in somewhere inside there, I need to hear a bit more about what has gone on. It doesn't sound right to me. And I can say this, sir. These prison officers have been working in this country trying to protect the rest of Barbados from people who needed to be incarcerated. Under all circumstances, we expect that they will be treated with dignity. And it is not enough to just come out and say, as has been said last week, oh, these people are part of the disciplined forces, and essentially whatever happens in that context, we don't need to get into that in any detail or anything like that. What we need to know is that they are treated as fairly as possible in the circumstances, because it is evident that all has not been well between these people and the authorities at the prison. And nobody wants to be put in a position where you're left to believe that conflict creates an environment where they or anybody else is treated less than fairly. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Morning. I know right now the discussion is all about COVID, but I want to change the discussion for a little bit, because they have a problem that is killing me very slowly. And if it is not corrected, I don't see myself being here next year. I have a Gary sheep directly in front of my home. It was set up there to get me to leave the village. I cannot leave the village. I don't have the money. I have tried over the years to get it moved, but nobody's helping. I called Sanitation Service Authority, and they said it is not their problem. I called my representative, and he is butting around, looking. No, I have to look for ways for 20-plus houses, the 20-plus houses that dump garbage in front of my house. And I have to find a way for them to discard of their garbage. Now,
what's the background to this? This doesn't sound, right to me. Explain how you got to this point where 20 different households are dumping their garbage by you. And as you just said, it has been done to get you to move. What is the background to this?
I will tell you what was said to me. You are too black. You have to leave down in here. That was what was said to me.
Whose land is it?
I don't know who the land belongs to.
The property that you are on, is that your property?
No, it is not.
Are you squatting?
No, I am not.
You're renting then?
Yes.
Okay. Who wants you to leave? The person that you're renting from?
No.
Who wants you to leave?
The people who live next door to me, who came and found me here.
So what influence can they have over all the other people to tell them to come and dump this stuff by you?
No, the thing is, because the truck cannot get to these houses, and it puts cannot in commas, they are using the excuse to put their garbage in front of my house. I'll send you a picture.
Please do. But this is a matter which ideally would be raised with the Ministry of Health. People cannot go and dump garbage wherever they want to just like that. So I assume that apart from the Sanitation Service Authority, you would have spoken to the Ministry of Health about it. What did they say?
I tried to call the Ministry of Health. You would not believe the response that I got. So I really won't say it. I won't say it on air.
You see, I tried to call. In circumstances like these, you don't just try to call, because as a health hazard, you have to do more than try to call. You obviously have to, ideally, you got right. You got to make sure that you go to senior people within the Ministry of Health to address it. It wouldn't make sense to me for anybody in a responsible position to just ignore the plight of not just one person, but you have a household, you have people who live next door to you. This does not make sense. So
it does not make sense to me either.
How long this has been going on?
From since 1992 or 93.
So long? And nobody has been able to put a stop to this?
Because I have gotten 3 signs put out there. The young men who live in the gap decided that they don't want the signs there, and they dug them up. Now, all this time I was at work, and they said, you know what, let me leave it alone. But now that I'm not working anymore, I can't live in my house. Right now, my house is pinned down. I can't even go into my my backyard. The scent is all the way out there.
All right. It looks to me as though this needs more investigation. So what I'm going to ask you to do
Did you see the picture? I sent you the picture.
I want you to actually leave your contact details with the producer. Mm-hmm. And we will then have to try to see how we can follow up on this. Okay?
Thank you, because I'm at my wit's end. I have no idea what to do next.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you very much. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, I heard you something talking to Vladimir on his show about music, they can put you on the spot. If you had to choose two songs to play right now, which songs would you play? And then you get a clue, RPB.
You mean the country's sick? The country ain't well?
Yeah. And all I'm because my... of you, you're
and what?
All because of you. You're on the ball. Yeah, I will not test you again about your musical intellect. You know, I spot RPB this morning. And you see music? And people will just sit down and take time and listen. Just listen to the lyric, you know. Now, I have said on this program that I don't want any government to fail, whether they support the party or not. Because then the government fails, we the people fail. I had also said that I won't vote for either of these two parties ever again. But I say that my life and the life of all Barbadians have been put at risk in the interest of economic value. I am saying this so you can take note of it. Whenever elections are called again, and I'm alive, I will vote against the Barbadian Party. I'm serious. Initially when they started handling this thing, they were doing beautifully, you know. They were doing great. People were adhering to the measures that were being taken. When you pass Bay Street, you hardly see anybody on Browns Beach. When you go down Brandon, you hardly see anybody. The buses and people, everybody was adhering. But from the time you reverse everything, we put ourselves in big trouble. You can imagine, you got countries like England and the United States that this thing is on the rampage, and you asking people to come from those countries to come here all in interest of financial gain. Tell me what's sensible about that. I didn't hear Peter Rican talking about you're going to do it because the person who got the car loan to pay and this thing loan to pay, they ain't dead, they can pay the loans.
Okay, well, let me say to you, I heard you yesterday as well on this subject. I know that there are many of you who are highly critical of the policies which have been pursued. And as I said from the outset, I think there's more than enough blame to go around. This is not only about the policies which have been pursued and the points which have been raised by BAMP, for instance, which have been rejected to some extent by what I've heard from the government. All of this is now coming back to us. But remember, I have had to interact with a lot of people and to caution that this thing was not over and that the way that Barbadians were reacting was dangerous. All too many people were saying, oh, what are you worried about? We ain't got no COVID. It is the people who bringing it in. But it was so easy for COVID to slip in. And because people were gathering in the way that we have been over the recent past, we were creating the perfect conditions for a significant spread of COVID. You know, you may say, okay, well, the authorities stopped holding news conferences and perhaps that helped to give that false sense of complacency. But truth be told, we had enough information coming at us from abroad, especially the United States and Britain and other countries, which suggested to us that we needed to be vigilant. So,
yeah, but David,
so don't, you, for, it's one right. thing for you to sit down and spend your time trying to cast blame others, but you personally got to ask yourself, how many times you sat down, you got yourself in a situation where you said after the fight, you said, boy, I should not have done that. I'll give you an example. Somebody invites you to come and sit down and have a meal or something to drink. The next thing you know, a host of people turn up that you didn't expect. Sometimes people just drop in. All of a sudden, you're caught in a situation where you start to feel grossly uncomfortable because, you know, you certainly didn't plan that. But David, this is how we have been, some of us have been living.
David, since this thing started, right? Since this thing started, anytime you see me step out in the public domain, I wear my mask. And it stays on. And you see the example you just used? It would never happen to me. First thing, I don't eat both. That's one.
You don't what?
I do not eat both.
You don't eat both.
I have been walking with my alcohol years before COVID came.
Yeah, but you're exceptional. So please don't put yourself up as, you know, as the standard by which other people operate.
But they should operate. But let me tell you something, right? Let me close by saying.
Anyhow, Mr. P, I remember hearing you yesterday at length on this particular subject, and you know there are other people who need to get a chance to have their say. So thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Happy New Year, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, Happy New Year to you and yours.
And to listeners. I have three questions. First, with the two semi-lockdown bank holidays that the Prime Minister called, who is going to pay the private sector workers for those two bank holidays? I want to hear it from the Prime Minister, because it's not our fault, and that two bank holiday is not on the calendar, so we want to know who is going to pay us. That is what the workers want to know. All right, and myself. Hello?
Yes, you want to know who's going to pay you?
Yes, for the two semi-lockdown bank holidays.
I'm listening to you.
Okay, and what is going to be the cost to Barbados for maintaining all of these people at the isolation center? What is going to cost Barbados, Mr. Ellis?
I can't tell you that. It is up to the authorities when they speak directly to you to give you that kind of information. You know you don't have the answer to that.
I know. We need to know. But, Mr. Ellis, you know, on three radio stations, I warned them about this thing, and callers came after me, say talking a lot of foolishness and things. But they see it come to light now. All that they're saying, I was talking foolishness, it come to light. And another thing, they had a whole set of white people on the beach, locals mixed up. We ain't hearing anything about that. What's going on with this whole set of people? We don't know if it's that some of these people that went to the bus crawl. But people blaming the prison officers. I don't know where they're going. No, we ain't hear nothing about this beach thing with all the white people. But all I turn that the blame is on the black people. And people say they should put no blame on nobody. But let me tell you, Mr. Ellis.
Sorry.
Miss Cabot, she's bringing all these people now. For the time that these tourists come out here, it's that how the virus gets around, spread about. All before they were having bus crawls, little fets and so, and nothing was happening. It's only now that all of these planes coming full, and this thing starts to spread. But you see, like it spread from down in the West Coast. The West Bag, the three employees positive. For the time that these planes coming full, this is how these virus get here, before they had a lot of bus crawls, all kind of crawls, and nothing so happened. But now that all these things come out here, it happened, and for truth, Mr. Ellis, it got you really scary. And people
don't
blame.
I'm going to say this. When everything was going well, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health took all the praise for what was going on. Well, if it took the praise then, you can't escape the blame now. And this thing about trying to stop people from getting involved in a blame game and saying we got to deal with it as it is right now, I don't think we're being realistic about that. You can't get it. You can't take the praise on the one hand and then try to shift any criticism that is going to come your way. You got to accept it. And I've seen a fair amount of criticism already online. My view is that the government must take its licks on this matter, but we also have to take into consideration that right across the board, we have had a greater degree of complacency. Now, let me say to you There are those who will argue that part of the reason why we have been as complacent as we have been is because the government came across as though it had taken its foot off the pedal. And many people in a country such as this look to governmental reinforcement, to governmental action to help make the point as to how we are supposed to live. But this is where we are now. On this particular day, how are we going to move forward in this very difficult situation? What about the whole question of the protocols? How are we going to deal with the people who come in? This country has given the impression that it is so hungry for the money from tourists and foreigners that it is giving them an easier time than it is giving to the locals. And the point that you have made, I have heard other people make, that it seems as though the criticism is being directed at the average person. The government is absolving itself of responsibility and blame. And the only people who are getting lashes are prison officers and other people out there in this community. But that can't work. If we are all in this together, that's how I see it. Okay? Down to brass tacks.
Morning. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I just wanted to find out how the people who have to attend the polyclinics, because they need to...
Can you turn your radio down, please, ma'am? It is too loud. I'm hearing my voice coming back at me.
Well, hold
on. You were saying...
Hello. I just wanted to find out...
Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, let me hear.
Please, ma'am, this is too loud. I'm hearing my voice coming back.
Polyclinics, and particularly yes. Black Rock Polyclinic, where there's a massive crowd there, and there's no order. Everybody just rushes and pushes. Everybody wants to be first in line. They have a kind of a system, but they don't pay attention to it. And it's very hard for the persons, particularly the elderly, to go and get medication. And I would like to know what can be done, if there's a service that could be available to the older people, that they don't have to get in with that mass of pushing and shoving. Because I personally would not.
When is the last time you tried?
The last time would have been 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Now, this is my third week of using the same prescription, so it's going to finish out, you know, in a few days, because it's for 3 weeks.
Yes, and you're not even talking about the rush associated with trying to get COVID tests. I think that there's a need for some review of this whole situation with respect to the COVID testing, especially when you go into periods where there's a kind of rush, as happened, I think, 2 days ago or so. Some people have had to go the route of getting private tests. Private tests are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, some people, some companies and individuals cannot afford that. There is also a need to have people moving on roving teams to go to places where you have large numbers of people to avoid having people sit in the hot sun and stuff. It may well be necessary for the government to look at introducing some kind of program and mechanism where they're not going to be charging the $300 and $400 that are being charged at the private sector level. But one would recognize that something may have to be paid for it. But not at that exorbitant fee, and help to use that as one of the means by which you are trying to reduce this this rush and this exposure to the sunlight and possibly even to COVID, because once you have so many people in line and that sort of thing, there's always that possibility that people can bunch up and all of that. So I think that needs to be examined. In addition to your point that especially the elderly in the country, they're having real difficulty at the polyclinics generally. This is even when you're not dealing with COVID testing.
Exactly.
So take your point, and I hope something can be done about that, huh?
If someone can offer, at least you pay a small fee for them to collect your medication.
Yes.
I know that everybody needs the money, and if they say, well, they're using their time and their gas, but I personally cannot see myself in that line again. I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Understood. Understood. I hope that the Ministry of Health listens to a call such as yours and that it will do something about it. All right?
I thank you for your time.
Thank you for calling.